It gives me pleasure to present to you and to introduce this morning our speaker and leader in worship, the Reverend Dennis Hill. Mr. Hill is a personnel representative for the Foreign Mission Board for the four-state region of Virginia, the two Carolinas, and Georgia, where he interviews persons who are interested in mission vocation on behalf of the board. He is a frequent visitor to our campus, and it's likely that many or perhaps most of you have met him or at least seen him here on the campus. And we are always pleased during each academic year to have Mr. Hill to come and lead us in worship and have an opportunity to have fellowship with him. He is a native of Kannapolis, North Carolina, graduate of Mars Hill College and of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He lives in Raleigh and makes the Southeastern campus a sort of a headquarters for his operation in this region, and this is why we get to see him fairly frequently. Dennis, we're glad to have you this morning, and after the anthem, Mr. Hill will lead us in worship. Let us pray. Our Father, for the joy of life, the privileges of Christian fellowship and service, the opportunity to bear witness to our faith, we give thee thanks. Bless us today with a deep sense of our responsibility to thee and to one another. Open our hearts to the truth which comes to us in so many ways, and enliven our spirits by the power of thy Spirit, that we may not only have knowledge and wisdom, but love and a depth of feeling that shall always make us concerned and compassionate and deeply committed to the work to which thou dost set our hands. We would not let this day pass without saying a special prayer for those in high places who at this time go through deep waters. We pray that thy Spirit may guide in the affairs of this nation and of the nations of the earth. And let us find an inner peace which may express itself in an outward peace with all men. And bring nations and men, we pray, to harmony of spirit and unity of purpose in keeping with thine own will and purpose for this world. Bless our speaker this morning, that he may find grace and words of wisdom to share with us. And let us hear thy word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to read this morning from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 7. I beg you, I, a prisoner here in jail for serving the Lord, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for one another's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. We are all parts of one body. We have the same Spirit, and we have been called to the same glorious future. For there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we all have the same God and Father, who is over us and in us all, living through every part of us. However, Christ has given each of us special abilities. Whatever he wants us to have out of his rich storehouse of gifts, he has given to us. I'd like to begin this morning by saying that as I have attended frequent chapels in this place, one of the richest blessings that I have come from these men that sing almost every morning. I really appreciate what you add to my worship experience, and I'm certain that each of you appreciate them also. I've been in Richmond this week because we've been having our annual board meeting there, because we've had an appointment service, and I'd like to tell you about a young lady that was there. I've known her for several years. She's quite attractive. She's tall. Well, I guess I'd have to say she's good looking. She has a quick smile and pretty eyes, and she's very intelligent. No, I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about somebody in Richmond. This person just finished a master's degree from Emory University. She's the kind of girl that could have been married many times, but she always had a different vision in mind. She hasn't always been planning to go to the mission field, but that has been her calling, and that has been her choice. And this week she was appointed to go to Jordan. And as she stood in First Baptist Church in Richmond and gave her testimony, this is what she had to say. She said, "I know there's a war going on over there. I know there are people getting shot." She reflected something upon the Jews being the chosen people of God. And yet she said, "The reason I'm going is because I know that most of the Arab world does not understand God to be a God of love." And one of her tasks, one of her goals, while she be teaching nurses, is to try to help a small part of the Arab world to come to an understanding of God as being a God of love. For Annette and many other missionaries, their call has stretched over various experiences, stretched over many years, that have molded them and have made them into who they are today and have brought them into an understanding of what God's will is for their lives. If you will indulge me, I would like to talk briefly about some of the steps involved in becoming a missionary. Now, I'm not talking about form number one and form number two and form number three, but I'm talking more about the process of God working in someone's life. The first step that we have all experienced is the step of becoming a disciple, of joining a church, of coming to a faith in Jesus Christ. It's a choosing step. It's choosing to be a witness. It's choosing to live a Christian life, choosing to be a servant, choosing to be a worshiper. But somewhere in the midst of this choosing God and accepting His love, people often come to a point where something happens in their lives and they say, not only do I want to be a disciple, but I want to give myself to full-time Christian commitment. And in this willingness to give of themselves, many times they will feel a calling. They will feel called out into a special task. And that's probably why most of you are here at seminary, either as faculty members or as students, out of a sense of calling, a rightness of being in God's will. I've been at Ridgecrest and at Glorieta on several occasions when many people have come forward making decisions, little children, 6, 8, 10 years old, accepting Christ as Savior, some as young as 8 years old saying, I want to be a missionary. I want to commit my life to God for now and forever and ever. And teenagers and young adults and older people. But I tend to notice that most of the time, the willingness to give completely is usually more the ability and the gift of the little child. Because as we get older and we see more responsibilities, we have more reservations about what we can do and what we can give, and maybe we're a little less willing to be fully committed to God's will. It's an observation. The second step in this process of being in God's will is feeling called out for a special responsibility. Now that might mean that you will be called out to be a preacher or a doctor or a teacher, but it's a sense of being called out from the church family as a whole to a special task. Another step in becoming. The Christian who is called out doesn't merely choose his vocation cafeteria style. He doesn't stand back and look at all the choices and say, well, I think I'll do this or I think I'll do that. But instead he feels called in a direction. And from time to time that direction may change. He may sense a different calling, but it's always with a certainty that he moves forward. The church is important in that because the church will help a man to interpret his role, help him interpret his gifts, interpret what he's going to be able to do with his life, and maybe to interpret what God is actually saying to him. Now, the maturing of the called out person is what I think is extremely important, because I'm assuming that those of you who are seminary students here on this campus are called out people. People with special gifts. But as you have come to the age of 21 and 25 and 30 and 50 or whatever it may be, as a called out person, you need to continue to evaluate your gifts. You need to continue to be trained. You need to learn new skills in order that you can be a better servant of God. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But I observe that sometimes in the midst of this sophisticating of our abilities and the sophisticating of our calling, Sometimes we do not quite retain the responsiveness to God that we had in our initial calling. In other words, each of us have had an experience somewhere back along the way that has caused us to be here at this place, that has caused us to be in the process of learning new skills and refining ourselves. But it's important to always remember that initial calling and to remember that initial response. I imagine that with you, that your experience is something like mine. When I first became a Christian, I grew. And then I came to a point to where I said, God, anything with my life. And little by little, I kept narrowing that down until there was a time when there was a smaller part of my life that I was willing to give to God. But there had to come another time of opening that back up and yielding my life to God. That's the maturing of a called out person. These new reservations that I speak of are important reservations, because most of the time when we accepted Christ and made these commitments, we weren't married, we didn't have children, we didn't have car payments, and we didn't have some of the dreams that might bind us to where we stand. Responsiveness to the newness of God's call in our lives. That's what the called outness is all about, the recognition of gifts. Now, as a conclusion to all of this, this is where the Foreign Mission Board or any mission agency will come in and pick up on. Because we are an agency, a representative of the church, that would help people evaluate their gifts and their abilities and will send them out to do a special task. Now, that's not apart from God's call. That's in cooperation with. It's helping the individual to evaluate who he is and what he can do. We are not an agency that calls, but we're an agency that sends. My presence on this campus is not to grab every student by the collar and to say, God's called you to be a missionary. But my presence on this campus is to give the kind of information through which God can work, and through which people can yield themselves and make proper choices, to have a sense of openness to God's leading. For you see, in Israel and Jordan right now, there are a few islands of love. They're called mission stations, where people aren't hating one another, where they're trying to spread God's love and good news. In Cabanatuan in the Philippines, there's been a correspondence course where hundreds and hundreds of people have responded. There's a student center in Manila where there were at least 3,000 conversations last year of about an hour in length. And 4/5 of those people have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. We have films that are being produced in Thailand to convey the gospel message, and people are responding. In Laos, Bibles are being distributed. People are responding. People are eager to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are hundreds of places for men to preach it. And we are eager to send some of you, some of the students from this campus. I hope we'll have that opportunity. Tomorrow, during the chapel hour, Mr. Lewis Cobbs and Mel Torstrick will be on campus and we'll be in the cafeteria. I hope we'll have a chance to meet many of you there to talk with you. I'll be on campus later this morning. If there's some of you that would like to talk about some opportunities in foreign missions, it would be my pleasure to talk with you. May we pray. Gracious Father, help us to know our gifts. Help us to be able to see the world and to respond to it with openness. Come into our hearts and lives and remove our fears, that we may know your will and be able to do it. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray.